ocean high and fair complected. Archetypics, why were you born? Easy charm flies to honey. All your streets are paved with gold. Archetypics, why were you born? I wanna know you. Why you on your own? Or did you learn? I wanna know your truth. Archetypics, why were you born? Challenge me and be my teacher. When all your beauty starts to fade, archetypics, where will you? Why were you born? I wanna know you. Why you were on your own? Or did you learn? I wanna know your truth. Archetypics, why were you born? I wanna know you. Why you
Wow, Jordan Paul with the Archetype X song right there, conjuring up, I guess, the ghost or the spirit of the late, great Jeff Buckley. Very, very nice. I stumbled across that when I was pulling some music and listening to some other stuff when I was on. I checked out Hamontify. Yeah, that's how you say it, Hamontify. It's a new site where Hamilton artists can load up their music, you know, that sort of thing. And I clicked on one of his songs, and it led me over to another place. I went, oh, well, I guess I'll check out, you know, YouTube more on him. And then I found this, and he recorded it in this alleyway in the Junction in Toronto. So it sounds really good. Good job, man. We have to track that guy down and have a chat with him. Also, what else is going on here? Oh, man. Just checking the old Steel City Music email here, which you can find on the site under contact. Andrew, hey, Gunner. Looks like I misread your emails. I'm under the impression you weren't unable to do the show because of COVID. No, I have to do pre-record, I told him. So we have to do, like, via phone or that sort of thing. Or Zoom. How painful is that? February 26th, my EP drops. Okay, yeah, I guess we can set that up for you, Mr. Andrew. Listen, we can do that, buddy. I will send him an email. And we'll have something. We'll set up an email interview for February 26th. Paul Wooten from The Crow, from... I keep calling them the Crawling Kings because I've known that band for years, but it's not anymore. It's the Lowdown Dirty Mojos, right? Okay, so new album coming out. New album's called The Stone Cold Groovers, 10 new original tracks. Get your copy as soon as we can. Your listeners would enjoy the album. Want to send it to you, get a copy to you. Thanks, Jamie. Okay, yeah, cool. All right, Paul, I'll send you an email and then we'll set something up for the the Lowdown Dirty Mojos. So that's all you got to do. Go to the website, steelcitymusic.ca, contacts, and if I can help you out, I can, or I will, or I'll try to at least, anyway. This next set of music is, where are we going with this, Mr. Smith? Since Jordan Paul started us off with a Jeff Buckley kind of vibe there, let's do Soggy Mountain Boys, Emmylou Harris, Too Good to Be Tanya's, Tim Buckley, and the father of Jeff Buckley, and let's spin some Jeff Buckley. That's a nice little set there, isn't it? I think so. All that on Steel City Music. Check it out. Thank you.
Maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Afloat on shipless oceans, I did all my best to smile till your singing eyes and fingers drew me loving to your isle, and you sang, sail to me, sail to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, here I am, waiting to hold you. Did I dream you dreamed about me? Were you here when I was fox? But now my foolish boat is leaning, broken lovelorn on your rocks, for you sing, touch me not, touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh my heart, oh my heart, shies from the sorrow. I'm as puzzled as the oyster, I'm as troubled as the tide. Should I stand amid the breakers, or should I lie with death my bride? Hear me sing, swim to me, let me enfold you. Oh my heart, oh my heart, waiting to hold you.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
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 Your mama's gone away and your daddy's gonna stay. Don't leave nobody but the baby. Go to sleep, you little babe.
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 Everybody's gone in the cotton and the corn. Didn't leave nobody but the baby. Your sweet little babe.
Your sweet little babe.
Your sweet little babe.
Your sweet little babe.
Honey in the rock and the sugar don't stop. Gonna bring a bottle to the baby. Don't you weep, pretty babe.
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 She's long gone with her red shoes on. Gonna need another loving babe. Go to sleep, little babe.
Go to sleep, little babe.
Go to sleep, little babe.
Go to sleep, little babe.
You and me. And the devil makes three. Don't need no other loving, babe. Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Go to sleep, you little babe.
Come lay your bones on the alabaster stones and be my ever-loving babe.
Constant Sorrows, Soggy Mountain Boys soundtrack there. Pretty cool set of music. Now, I had a conversation a while back. Jim Watts from the Vagabond Saints Tattoo Lounge and Spa here in Hamilton, Ontario, just like all the other small businesses around the Canada, they've taken a beating. And in Ontario, they've been getting the proverbial crap kicked over them, trying to stay open, trying to stay alive, that sort of thing. So he did a telethon, an old-fashioned one, and he announced it, and he booked guests and entertainment, and they were going to do it from the shop, and co-hosted with Matt Serena from Hub of the Hamilton, here out of Hamilton. They do, like, online trivia. Before that, they were doing it in bars, that sort of thing. So everyone's been pivoting, trying to, like, make their way through 2020, and now that we're in 2021, trying to survive this whole stupid COVID pandemic thing. And make some money and, you know, and do the whole nine yards. So Jim did this telethon, an old-fashioned one. And, of course, when he announced it and he has a co-host and he books the entertainment, then we go into super secret Cobra Kai COVID lockdown, which means I don't know, which just means I was doing it anyway. So I don't know why we're doing it this, how much more we can actually do. But we go into it. And you can only have five people hang out together at any time. You can't be in here. You can't do this. You can't do that. So they had to, like, do everything. They could bring people in the business. So people had to pre-record it and do it at home. And we touch upon all of that stuff in the interview. So he explains all of it to us. But he did raise some money. And he did get a newly announced grant, that sort of thing. But I think the telethon near killed him. Because you could feel the tension in his voice. During the interview. So like, hats off to him, like all the other small business owners out there that are actually doing their best to stay alive, you know, good on you, man, really. It's about a 20-minute interview, that sort of thing. So we'll play that on the back end of this hour. And I don't know if you guys notice this, but I got this sort of like bluegrassy vibe. I don't know, once I hear one thing, it just triggers a whole bunch of other stuff. And am I falling all in love again with Emmylou Harris? Like, is it possible that I could just, you know, send her more stuff on Twitter saying, please, please, please come to Hamilton and sing for me? Is that possible? Can I do that? I think I can. Oh, man, I would really love to see her sing with Melissa McClelland and Lisa Wynn. And, you know, and Tara Lightfoot and all of those voices doing a really nice a cappella show at Supercrawl. I would love to see that happen. It probably won't happen this year, but maybe next year we could have that, you know. That would be a personal favorite thing for me to, I guess maybe I should write Tim Potocnik over at Supercrawl. Is there any way we can make this happen? Like, he would do that for me. Hey, take a shot, right? Anything's possible. All right. Enough of this fantasy. Who would you want at Supercrawl if you could? Hit me up at the email, steelcitymusic.ca contacts. Tell me who you would like to see at Supercrawl when it happens again. Cool, because it's going to happen again. It will, folks. It will happen again. Trust me. Taking us into the interview, the great, late great Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris. Love Hurts on Steel City Music.
Love hurts
My next guest did something that I haven't seen in such a long time. It was an old school telethon. Well, it was more of an online thing because, well, quite frankly, folks, we just can't do a telethon during the lockdown. Jim Watts from Vagabond Saints is on the line with me right now. And on January 16th and 17th, he did a very, 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 very long 24-hour telethon. Jim, how did it turn out?
Hey, Gunner. It was good.
Yeah?
I don't want to, you know, come down on it and say that it wasn't great, because it really wasn't. It was the hardest undertaking I think I've ever done in a while.
Jeepers.
So we were originally planning it. We were going to be doing it at the shop where, because our shop is actually, it was originally two shops, and then they put a doorway between the two. So we have our tattoo services side,
and then we've got the other side. Spa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The problem with it was that all these conflicting, confusing rules about what you can and can't do during the state of emergency lockdown, we decided to scrap that whole plan we did, and we were able to convert a lot of it over to just online. Right. So Matt Serena joined me, and I will go on record again as saying he is one of the best co-hosts. Best host, best people to do anything with.
Sure is.
He was there and was popping in and out, and it was just fantastic, everything that he did. So we were able, we did a bunch of interviews with local groups that we've actually worked with before. Vagabond Saints has worked in part with. And we had Catherine Johnson from Eric's Cupboard. We had Bonnie McGillivray from the Bridge House on Barton Street. We had Tara Pattison from Path Employment and Larry Pattison, who runs the Pumpkin Prom.
Right.
And so, you know, we all these great interviews, and it was very casual, laid back. Then we got into the musical performances, and it was just the way that everybody's schedules worked. It was all interviews, then it was all the music. And then we got into our nightlife, our after-hour section, which was we had a belly dancer. We had a pole dancer. We had comedy from a young man named Justin Shaw, who was absolutely hilarious. God, it was, you know, days have gone by since this, so I don't remember everything.
Well, in our initial discussions, it was, and when you were promoting it, there was also a vegan online cooking course that you guys were looking forward to putting together.
Yes.
As well. And there was also, you had local wrestling as well, but it was
yes,
like a recorded event that you put online.
Yes, it was the best of.
Yeah, and I tuned in for that. I was flipping over, just checking on you to see if you were okay, you know, because if you've never done one of these things, I mean, how many people can say, hey, I actually did a 24-hour telethon? I sympathize with you, because back in the day, I did one with a friend of mine, Kyle Smith, and we were on the air for 24 hours, and you just get delirious. Like, you lose track. So if you don't have someone keeping you on point, right? So
I didn't have anyone keeping me on point. You bring up an excellent point, and you have done a 24-hour telethon. I have not.
Yeah.
I made it 17 hours.
Oh, you made 17 hours. Yeah.
The viewership fell off. We had five. On my screen, it said there were five people watching.
Yeah.
I found out those five people fell asleep and just left their computers on. So I think it was five. I made it till 5 a.m., I'm losing steam. I've got CPW wrestling asking me, like, interacting with me, but it's like one question every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was right after I did the wrestling. We did, I think, from 11 to midnight. Their section was about an hour. So I actually sat down and watched it, and then I grabbed something to eat. I rehydrated, you know, I dehydrated.
Sure.
Well, it's dehydrated me. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, you know.
And so I was getting delirious at that point. I had been up since 10 a.m. And then, because I slept in a little bit, just so I was going to be, you know, all right, we're starting at 11. So by 5 a.m., I'm drawing pictures of boobs. And then, well, like, I just drew a picture, guys.
This is it.
But there was no interaction to keep me awake.
Right.
Tanya had been, what she was doing is she was in the bedroom on her laptop, and she was keeping conversation going in the chat section, the comment section. And she was inner working with me, but she wouldn't come on camera because she didn't want to do her makeup and hair and everything. Unlike me, who just would take a dirt bag on camera.
Right.
So
right. You don't care. Yeah.
I think by 1 o'clock she fell asleep. So it's just me, and it's hitting me, and I had nobody. Matt Serena had long since departed after the trivia section. I think he maybe came in one more time, but it's just me. My house is quiet, and I'm just like, oh God. My one dog is like 2 feet away from me snoring, and that's just making me more tired. And I'm like, what have I done? But I just looked into the camera and I was like, listen, there's nobody watching right now.
Yeah.
There's no point me making it. Some of you are probably going to come back at 7 a.m. and they're like, hey, look, he's still on. I can't. I honestly can't.
So you ran out of, like, you weren't airing anything at a certain point at like 6 in the morning, like, oh, here's a pre-recorded interview with so-and-so, or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
It was the changeover from where we were going to have it live in the shop and we had to do it all online.
Yeah.
Lost us a bunch of participants.
Right, right.
And
right.
People that could come in and do it. You know, that's not a problem. They'd wake up an hour before they had to come in for their segment, get there, do it, go back home, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't have these were the same people who didn't have the technological capabilities. They didn't know how to film themselves. They didn't know how to upload it, things like that. So it was, I think the last segment we had was the cooking segment, because the person that was doing it broke their phone and it got pushed back to like 2:30 in the morning. So I think it was from like 3 o'clock on that, from 3 to 5, that I was just trying to fill space, and I'm just getting more delirious and ridiculous.
It really,
things I'm saying.
Honestly, when you go through something like that, you kind of hold back on the comments when other people do something like that. That's what I always find is like when I, before when I was younger, I would see people on air and on TV and I'm just like, okay, buddy, whatever. You really don't got much to do. And then when you do it, you go, oh, this is awful. And they have a bunch of people helping them and some don't. And you did, like, you had a very limited resources. So for what you did, you got to cut yourself some slack, man, because it's a long haul, 24 hours of trying to be engaging, trying to like drive home the point to everyone that there's a reason why you had to do this, and bringing more awareness to the fact that, hey, we're in the middle of a lockdown. My business is suffering. Other businesses are suffering. And I have to do this because of these set of rules have been put down on me because of my situation. So kudos to you. Like, you know, I think you doing it shows that you showed some initiative and you have a greater respect for, at the very end, of what people, that extra yard that people have to do to keep their business going, because you have sunk a lot of time and effort and what you've been doing over the last, geez, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, yourself and Tanya, and then you know, the constant moving of the businesses from Barton Street to King Street and bringing on employees and then just finally getting settled. And then, you know, then the COVID hits and then the pandemic and then the lockdown. And, you know, so it is a real struggle. So, but you did it though. And you did raise some funds, which is great, which will probably help you maybe just for a little bit. And it shows you something that you could possibly do differently next year. I really hope we're not in the same situation where you are forced to do something like this again, or maybe you would just do just for fun as promotion anyway. But now we switch gears into an announcement that was made, I believe, was it 3 weeks ago or could have been 3 weeks ago. A couple of weeks we've been hearing about this new grant that has come down from the Ontario government, and you applied for it. And can you tell us about that experience?
Oh, so this experience ties in to the telethon in a way.
Right.
Just to backtrack just a tiny bit, we raised, between the online auction we did and the donations that came in during the telethon, $1,200.
That's great. That's great.
So those are the numbers we got for the 17 hours of telethon.
Sure.
Okay, so the grant that went into effect Friday the 15th, it had been brought to my attention, I think, the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 4 weeks before. And then I was asking about it on Twitter and Cafe Aranya. They were like, oh, that they're opening the portal on the 15th. So on the 15th, I grab my laptop and I sit down and I try doing this application. Donna Skelly has some website that you can get to this through. Mm-hmm. And it's like basically all the subsidies that are already being offered, the rent subsidy, the wage subsidy, the loan for what is now 60 grand with the 20% forgiveness. So I get to this government website or the Ontario website, and the grant is supposed to be for $10,000 to $20,000 to help small businesses, a small business grant. So I get on there and I'm filling out the information, and I get to where that part of the screen where it verifies all your information. Well, as I'm going through it, it's not recognizing my CRA business number. It's not recognizing my business name.
Oh,
it's telling me that things are missing. So I get to the verification page, and after filling out, you know, our basic info, our financial info, because the other part of this is for the other part that I was applying for was the utilities. They will help you, I guess, one time with utilities. So I get to that, I do that page, and I get on the verification, you know, before you finalize everything, and it says I'm missing all this information. Well, I go back, there's no spots for that information. It was asking for my bill providers and how much I pay, but there was no pull downs, there was no boxes to fill in for that information. And I'm like, expletives galore. I mean, if anybody knows me, knows I very blue with my language.
Right.
I was in deep maroon. I was so mad.
So what did you do to navigate? Like, who did you call upon? Was there anyone? Did you have to call someone within the government to, like, get on the phone with you and go, okay, you know, Jim, this is what
Mr.
you do.
Mr. Goner.
Yeah.
There's no phone numbers. There are phone numbers, but you call them, and the automated voice goes, we're sorry, but the subscriber that you tried to reach is not taking calls at the moment.
Oh,
this is for the 800 number. This is for the 416 number, I think it was.
So you're saying that the site was running, but it wasn't up and running, like to say that the kinks have been already worked out.
It's like they didn't even give it a practice run. So I then go on Twitter on my business account and I tag Ford, I tag Donna Skelly, and I'm like, your site is garbage. Mm-hmm. An hour later, I get a phone call and it is one of the representatives from the website. Now, I didn't get any other communication from Skelly or Ford because they tweet out, they don't interact. So I get a call from this young lady named Zohal, and she's doing everything in her power to help me, and she's not understanding the problems I'm having with the site. So she gives me an email address. I go and do the application one more time, and I filmed it with my phone and showed her the pink square that comes up that says, you need to fill in this information. And then you scroll down and you see the information that's filled in. So I sent that to them. She then called me back and she's like, well, maybe we can do it together online. I'm like, listen, I got a lot going on. I'm going to wait a few days till all the traffic has subsided because everybody in Ontario is jumping on this because it is chum in the water and we're all hungry sharks.
Oh, well, yeah.
So,
yeah, everyone, yeah.
So, because I don't qualify for anything else. So what I can get from this grant, you know, and I'm hoping for the full 20 because my rent is just under $6,000.
Right.
And, you know, 2 months right there, that's $1,200. So if I get the $20,000 grant, that's going to hold me longer in a time where we don't know anything. You know, we just got set back 2 more weeks. So if this goes on like it did last time, we could be 3 months again, you know. So I take a break from it. And then after getting a lot of sleep, after the telethon, I felt drunk and I don't drink. I haven't drank in forever, and I felt hungover.
Like, well, to be fair to the web designer and the government on this situation, you just did a 24-hour telethon. You've never done that.
This was before.
Oh, before. I thought you were still awake, and then you filled this out. Oh, this was before.
This was the Friday before.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Okay.
So, yeah, Friday was the application. Saturday, Sunday was telethon. Sunday and Monday was me recuperating from the telethon.
Right.
So I said, I felt hungover, so I didn't do anything on Sunday. Monday, I felt a bit better, more collected, you know, my bearings and stuff. So then I sit and I filled it out and everything worked.
Great.
Everything went through. And then my birthday was that Wednesday. Thursday morning, I get up and they said within 10 days, I'll have 10 grand. Now, perfect. Fantastic. I let everybody know. From that point on, I have noticed that nobody is posting that they got the 20,000. Everybody's getting 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making me kind of curious. They put $10,000 to $20,000 grant, but nobody's getting above 10. It just, and I don't trust the Ford government, the provincial government anyways, because everything is run by people filling spots are not qualified for. We have a lawyer taking care of the pandemic, a kid who was private schooled, who's in charge of our public schools. Nothing adds up. We've got Doug Ford, and we just know he ain't qualified for anything.
Yeah. you're beaten up. Like, you just feel beaten up right about now.
Yeah.
About everything.
So to segue forward, I have actually teamed up with other small business owners in Hamilton. There was a group that was put together 2 nights ago. They started getting really militant. Like, they want to go to Costco and, like, protest in person. And I'm like, that's going to undermine your cause. We need to do a letter campaign. We need to contact our MPPs. We need to go to a great length within the limits to let our political representatives know we're being hurt. Now, I was on the news nationally for my stance on we need to be shut down and we need to be subsidized while we're shut down. Right now, we're being shut down and we're being fed breadcrumbs of hopes that we'll make it.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that are hurting most right now are the personal service settings. That's tattoo shops, that's nail salons, that's barbers, that's hairstylists, that's estheticians, that's, you know, canning salons, things like that. And we're finding we're the demographic that aren't qualifying for the governmental aid. But so this grant was definitely, I'm not, it's $10,000 more than we had before, but I'm still like, is this only going to keep me running an empty shop for one more month?
Right.
And what's after that?
Yeah. All of us have been consuming the media on the reports that they're giving us, that sort of thing. This pandemic or this virus has been changing over months and months and months of time. So it always seems to be that our government and many governments around the world are just playing catch up to the whole thing, relying on the doctors the epidemiologists to say, okay, we'll go on your advice, your best advice. But there's been so many different doctors saying, well, we need a total shutdown right from the get-go for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that. And it's that wishy-washy kind of thing that ends up hurting small business and everyone gets hurt by this. So if you're going to shut us down, if this is what we're going to do, then shut us down completely and help me take care of my rent. Like, help me pay these things to keep me in business until we open everything back up again. But that hasn't really been, it's only yet been done the first time where everyone just went, oh, we got to shut this down. And it opened up again and we've run into all these problems. So, you know, and it's very easy for someone like myself to have this sort of like this rational kind of discussion about it because I'm not behind the eight ball paying all of these bills. I'm not like,
exactly.
I don't, you know, like I'm not you. I'm not like every other small business owner going, that's great. Give me the money. And then all of a sudden you hear, oh, well, we can't do that. We can't. And then, oh, we will do it, but it's going to be harder. And, you know, you have all these things floating around where everyone is just so frustrated. You know, we're going to give some frontline workers a couple extra dollars. And then that money doesn't come through. And you find out about all of these things. And then there's this great debate. Is the Ontario government sitting on billions of dollars? Like, has the $12 billion whatever been actually allocated? And, you know, all the other political groups are saying, well, there's actually $6.5 billion still sitting there for COVID relief. And you're going, okay, well, where's the numbers on that? Show me the data on that. So there's this hole, you can just feel it with everybody, right? And even in your own words, listening to you say, you know, I'm part of a collective that wants to go out and just, like, you know, protest outside of Costco. And it's like,
No, I'm not part of that.
No, but what I'm saying is that there are people that are getting to that point now. Right? Like,
people who are rational,
who are just, I'm done. Like, I'm dying here. You're not listening to me. So when you see these big, big stores, you're like going, wait a minute. Do I not matter? I mean, you keep telling me that I am, because of who I am, I employ this many people. We're the backbone of the industry in Southern Ontario.
And seeing Ford on his things, and he's like, friends. Don't call me friend, dude. I'm not your damn friend.
Yeah. My friends
look out for me. You ain't looking out for me. You're not looking out for any of my people, you know?
It's a frustration, yeah.
And the banks are the ones that could really save us all. If the banks would put a freeze on mortgages, I wouldn't have to pay two landlords full rent every month.
Right.
You know, my business rent or my home rent. You know, I rent from the people I rent from in my home, in my apartment. They build condos and they sent us letters during the first lockdown telling us to go on CERB so that we could still make our rent. These people build condos. I'm not going to say their name on the air because they don't need the extra publicity, but they took a old hotel and turned it into condos. Yeah. And yet they're worried about getting their money. The banks hold the mortgages. The people who pay the mortgages are the same people that are renting their properties. So if, you know, you cut the snake off at its head, you know, stop the banks. The banks make billions, you know, they're not going to hurt.
Yeah.
They're not going to hurt for a month.
There's a certain way of looking at things. And that is like, you know, we're both of us are so low on the totem pole when it comes to, you know, looking at how to run something where we just go, well, if you just hold off for a month, I can survive the next couple of months, right? But everybody answers to somebody else, right? So,
oh, no doubt.
And I think that's what that, you know, that's what's going to happen in the next little while when after summer and, you know, these vaccines get rolled out just a little bit more and more people get vaccinated and there's this sense of calm. Everyone can look back at this and go, okay, all right. We know what we did wrong, and we know how. And we're going to be living with this type of thing that's going to happen. We're going to have new vaccines, new this, new that. But there has to be a better way of looking after the people of Southern Ontario. You know, small business, that sort of thing. Because a lot of them are folding, and some are still at risk, of course. So, you know, we need. I know I sound optimistic when I'm saying this, but you know. It's the only way I can look at this, because if I look at it any other way, I'm probably going to go run outside in the nude. And it is Thursday, and it's one of the coldest days in Hamilton, and I'm tempted, you know, just for a sense of relief. You listen to Steel City Music. Gunner here with my special guest Jim Watts from Vagabond Saints. He did a telethon back on January 16th. It was a 24-hour one. He raised some funds. He was lucky enough to actually get the 10 grand. Has that come through your deposit yet at your bank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it came yesterday.
Well, see, there is some good news then that you did get that. And hopefully there'll be some clarification if others do get the full 20, if that's the case. Because what I hear you saying is just that frustration that everyone has. And I, you know, I can navigate myself through websites. You know, I'm not the most technical person, but I can get through things. And I hear that from people all the time. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going through this part, this portion. And if something goes wrong, you got to go back. And then you just get frustrated, that sort of thing. Right. So opening up the communication a little bit more and having more people communicate how to do something also relieves some stress on a small business.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, thank you for your time, sir. And we shall chat again. I'll check in with you in a couple of months. Hopefully I can come in and meet you in person, and I can say, I want this tattoo done, and I want both my arms and my back done. And show you some drawings, and then you could like make them better. I could give you money. You could put the stuff on me, and then I can look in the mirror and go, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. You know? Yeah. Okay. Because now I got to live with this.
and I'll give you the no hidden penis guarantee.
Thank you. But at least later on in life, I could look and go, hey, would you look at that? That's all right. All right, Jim. Thank you so much. And best of luck to you.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM, broadcasting across Hamilton from the edge of the Niagara Escarpment.
Hey, Gunner here, Steel City Music, and my next guest. We've been just having a laugh as we're setting up to do our phone thing here. And I was making a joke when people say to me, oh, we're not going to do this via Zoom, are you? And I'm like, no, don't worry. Because it's not that I don't want to look at you. I really don't want you looking at me. You know, and you made a great point. You're like, so I have to put pants on. Is this what you're saying?